This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
This is the iFanboy Pick of the Week 586, brought to you by Harry's. Go to harrys.com right now and enter code iFanboy at checkout to get $5 off one of their shave sets, including a limited edition Father's Day set. That's harrys.com, code iFanboy. And iFanboy listeners just like you.
Let me take you down, cause I'm going to Strawberry.
Hello and welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week. This is episode 586. I'm Josh Flanagan with my co-host Ron Richards.
That's the Ron Richards.
And Der Commissar Connor Kilpatrick.
Hello.
We are iFanboy, and every week we read our stack of comic books and one of us picks up their favorite book and we call that Pick of the Week. We talk about that book, other books from the week, a patron pick, and maybe if we have some time, we read some listener mail. It should be fun, but if you haven't read your books and we spoil it, it might be less fun if you're sensitive about that kind of thing. That was your warning. You know how it works. Connor, you know about fun because you made this your pick of the week.
Well, before we get to Connor's pick of the week, listeners, stay tuned. Towards the end of the show, we have a very important announcement about t-shirts.
We're wearing them.
Thank
More than that.
This week's pick of the week was the Commandi Challenge number 5.
Commandi?
Commandi.
The Commandi?
Commandi.
No, I'm thinking no.
Really?
Commandi? Commandi? I don't know. This is the thing about podcasting. All of a sudden, these words that no one spoke out loud, we're still running against it.
I for my entire life, I've called it Commandi.
Maybe that's not really the person that I
would. I would go to you first.
You're the person who couldn't say Rusty Auto Parts, so...
Wow. Okay. Well. Go on, Connor. I think it's Commandi.
It was the Commandi cartoon.
This could be a Magneto Magneto thing. You know,
one is right, one is wrong. I actually don't know what's right.
It's Magneto, according to Chris Claremont. It's Magneto.
Well, I actually don't feel strongly about this, so I'll say Commandi as well. Commandi Challenge number 5, written by Bill Willingham, art by Ivan Reis. And Ron, are you still reading this?
I am.
Josh, were you ever reading this?
I wasn't. But I did because of this, and I'm glad.
The conceit of this special challenge, this miniseries they're doing, is that each issue, they get some high-profile talent to do one issue, leaving it on a cliffhanger, and then the next issue is up to the next team to resolve the cliffhanger and move on. And, you know, that device is okay, mostly because I don't really remember the cliffhangers. So when it's resolved, I don't remember what they're resolving.
They've really done a poor job. Like, when it started... They did a very good job at recapping what the last one left off. And then they also had that like essay in the back of what the first team would have, like what the people who wrote the cliffhanger would have done. And that has gone by the wayside.
Well, they still have the essay in the back.
Well, no, the essays have not been in recent issues. I remember reading a couple where I was like, there's no essay. What the hell? They had it here where they said due to editorial deadlines or something in the top of it. But anyway, go on.
Anyway, so I don't really care so much about the device, more as I want to read a fun adventure with Commandi. And this issue found Bill Willingham, the legendary writer of Fables, teamed with Ivan Reis, who's drawing in a very non-Ivan Reis style.
Yep.
When I saw his name, I was like, ooh, because I love Ivan Reis. But then, I don't know if it's the Eau Claire Albert inks or if it's the Marcello Maiolo colors, but it's a very different style, but it's very engaging. And we've been talking a lot about the problems that comics have been having with art, and certainly some of those showed up this week in comics. But this is one gorgeous book, and Ivan Reis clearly loves to draw animals. He's very good at it. And also, it's a really fun story in which Kamandi finds himself washed up. He gets rescued by a boat because in the last issue, he's running away from these other creatures. I don't remember. Were they jackrabbits? What are they? Anyway, he finds himself in the water with his plant friend. She turns petrified to become a raft. He gets rescued by a bunch of dogs on a boat. And she floats away, very sadly. And so then this little adventure where he teams up with a tiger, who's sort of a Sherlock Holmes-esque private detective who used to be a professional wrestler, and he's got a little bit of derring do. He's a bit of Theodore Roosevelt in him. And they get attacked by these birds being... God, there's so many animals in here. These birds being flown by cats? Mongoose? I don't know what the hell that is. But anyway, it's a very fun adventure through this world in which Kamandi is the only human, and ends in a very startling cliffhanger that I'm not sure how they're going to get out of it.
It's funny because I was really surprised that you picked this, because have you been reading every issue?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
Okay, so I've been reading every issue, and when this started, I thought for sure this was going to be one that we were talking about on a monthly basis. Like every time it came out, I was for sure we were going to talk about it. And it really hasn't – we haven't talked about it, right, for obvious reasons, you know? And because after the initial, oh, wow, this is so cool, it kind of got repetitive and it kind of got really disjointed. And that's what happens when you have different teams coming in and all this sort of stuff. But for some reason, it clicked with this issue. And I don't know if it was Willingham or Reese or
– yeah.
You also, know, or, let's give it to Eau Claire Albert,
who
inked it, and I think that made a big difference to that Reese difference you're seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if it was the scene there where Kamandi gets eviscerated or gets, you know, his organs harvested, where it's like, oh my God, this is like, but like, this definitely had me going, all right, this is what I expected and what I wanted from this series.
Yeah, this was the best issue since the beginning. I've been kind of bored with the conceit, but this, I think Willingham. I didn't read a lot of Fables, but this seems sort of in the tone of that. And I would be fine if he did a Kamandi series. I mean, he seems to really get this tone, this sort of adventure. And it's weird, and the people in it are strange, but it's funny. And the dogs sound like pirates. And everything about this was really fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I finished reading this before you had told us it was the pick, and I was like, oh man, I can't wait to talk about this again, because this shows everything that Kamandi could be, you know, like this post-apocalyptic world where anthropomorphized, you know, where animals have become sentient and can talk, and humans are the rarity, and just the different personalities and types, and it brings that kind of, it taps into kind of what made Telos so special. Remember the old Waringo? Like there's something about a talking tiger or a bunch of, you know, like pirate dogs and things like that. Like the pirate ship was great. I was like, oh, I would just read about these guys' adventures, you know.
But beyond that, even just the design of it, it was such a cool looking thing.
Yeah,
I mean, there's been a lot of top talent artists on these so far, but this one is really special looking.
Well, it's been inconsistent. Like there was there was a Jimmy and Amanda one, right? But I don't think Amanda drew it though, or did she? I forget. But there, you know, but it's been like, it hasn't, I thought they were going to throw out like the A-listers.
Yeah.
And not to, you know, not to be too, yeah. Like, so the last issue 4 was James Tynion and Carlos de Anda.
Right.
And that one was forgettable. Issue 2 was Tomasi and Neil Adams, which was fun, but it was, you know, a little lacking. Issue 3 was Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti. And I think, and Ben Caldwell did the art, I believe. So it hasn't really delivered on the level that I hoped it would, but this issue showed it more than any issue, I thought. It was tragic when they got separated from his
Yeah, it was sad.
Yeah, the boat girl.
And also, I just noticed this sad detail now, which I didn't the first time, but in that final shot where we see Kamandi's laying out in the thing with his organs everywhere, he's got tears running down his face.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty awful. That's more awful than his chest being cut open.
But they also moved on from that like the girl, the yes. stick girl dying like quickly. I was like, oh, that's awful. Anyway,
well, that was like on the pirate ship. They're like, well, you've been a great help to us. I was like, wow, that was fast.
Yeah, which is pretty classic comic book stuff. You know, like isn't that terrible tragedy? Anyway, next issue.
Which is what it should be, I think. Right? I mean, you know.
I agree.
Correction, Amanda Connor did draw issue number 3. Jimmy Palmiotti wrote it and she drew it, but it wasn't
I don't remember much about it. It's Amanda Connor, Neil Adams, Ivan Reese, those are all top talent people. Yeah. But the last issue was kind of it's forgettable. It's tough. It's really tough. This is if you're going to do this, do it with the top people. And this is the top people.
And like the next issue is Steve Orlando and Billy Tan.
I saw that and I thought, "Oh."
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh,
yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, more of this. Because I hadn't been reading it. And honestly, I had, like, a kind of light week. And I was like, I don't know what the heck the pick's going to be. And last night, I was like, I'll just read this one that he made the pick of the week. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I would have made this pick of the week, too, in a second.
You don't even need to have read anything else. You haven't read any of it. You don't know.
No, you don't.
And I loved that part of it.
Yeah.
I loved that part of it. It was, like, just jump in, jump out. Just, you know, that's what comic books were to me in their first, you know, incarnation. So
that's part of the charm of this is that they are all truly one shots. You know, like it's just Commandy is adrift in this world and you just pick up the action where it left off. It is very classic set. And the whole idea is that this is part of the Kirby, you know, Kirby celebration. And so it's a nod to Kirby style as well, too. Man, it does make me want to revisit those Commandy hardcovers, though. Oh, the original Jack stuff is amazing.
I think people should tweet at us, hashtag Commandy, hashtag Commandy, to see what side.
Well, I did while we were recording.
Yeah, it's spelled the same.
While we were recording, I did tweet it out, and the overwhelming majority says that it's Commandy.
Commandy.
And then other people are saying it sounds like Command-D, Commandy. Right.
So. Let's see what Mark Evanier has to say.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the guy, you know, that we're going to ask.
So a close second to the Commandy challenge, the Commandy? Commandy challenge number 5.
Andy.
This is the Commandy challenge.
The old guard number 4. When Greg Rucka's really dialed into two characters and an idea, you get books like this. You get books like Lazarus. You get books like the old guard. When he's really super passionate. I mean, he's obviously super passionate about Lazarus, and I think this feels similar. Issue 4 featured a very, you know, surprising twist, but also some really great character stuff as we learn more about the backstory of these immortal people that are trying desperately to survive as they're being hunted. And we also meet the bad guys some more, and we get a really shocking scene with him. I just thought this was terrific. This whole series has been terrific. I feel like it's been much longer than 4 issues.
Well, it does feel like much longer than 4 issues. I agree. I had that same similar feeling.
In the best way.
Yeah.
Ron and I are going to go ahead and challenge you to find something else to say about this, because I made him sit through 2 pick of the weeks of it with me already. And I was going to put it on the list, and I was like, I don't.
Well, you had a twist in which one of the guys turns on the group. It's almost an understandable turn because they're all sort of really desperate to die.
Yeah.
So he sees,
do I need to keep doing this for?
He sees this as the quickest way to get there is to help the billionaire who wants their blood to be immortal. And the character work here is really stellar.
Yep.
As we've learned about each character, you know, with each passing issue, there's also a really, this might have been almost pick of the week just for that shot of the guy dressed as a cowboy. Or I guess he was a cowboy. Not like he's dressed as one. It's just a great Leandro Fernandez. It's heavy on the shadows. It's a lot of negative space usage.
Let's talk about the fact that I feel like this just came out. I feel like when I made pick of the week number 3, and I was like, oh, it's here again. And Fernandez is not slow.
Yeah.
You know, like this is going to come out when it comes out, you know, regularly. You know, I'm foreseeing.
It's been on a great schedule. It's been on a solid schedule. I mean, like, it's coming out, like, at least monthly, it seems like. I mean, and each issue, I feel as if is like, there's not a moment to relax in it. You know, like, you've got the action that's going on in the present day, but then the flashbacks that are revealing just a little bit more about these people every time that are, honestly, I would watch a comic of the flashbacks. Or read a comic of the flashbacks.
Oh, totally. It's almost as if a great novel writer also knows how to make comic books and is putting all that into this thing that not enough people will read.
Yeah.
But it's terrific. It really is terrific.
So let's add this to the list. along with Lazarus.
And Black Science.
We're going to go ahead and put this. Black Science is a different thing, but it's the reaction to that was strong.
Yes.
Are we going to put people against the wall for Black Science?
No.
Well, no, because Black Science is like Rick has a plan and that's going to end and he's going to do it until it ends. He's committed. Okay. He told me that he's committed to seeing that story through.
Okay, so that's going to finish.
Yeah, that is definitely going to finish. I'm very confident. But by the way, it's been about a month or so since we did the Black Science Challenge, and there was a huge reaction to it. And, you know, I'm glad to see so many folks were reading it and enjoying it. I just hope you all are converted to the Church of Black Science.
I would actually like to hear, but I saw a lot of people say they got it. A few people said it was pretty good. I'd like to hear, now that you had some time with it and you read it, you know, what did you think? Were we exaggerating or no? But I think we can all agree that Mateo Scalero needs to knock the fuck off. It's not fair. It's not okay.
It's just not fair. It's not right. But I would say, I mean, the old guard is one that if you're looking for something new, I mean, it's four issues in, you could probably go get the back issues. I mean, this has just been, it's been riveting. It's been riveting.
It's that kind of like addictive, episodic sort of, you know, Breaking Bad kind of thing. Like you just like, oh, next. You know, and that's the great. That's what I want out of a comic book.
We did a Booksplode on Roughneck, Jeff Lemire's new OGN, and we were talking about Jeff Lemire and his current state in the world. We didn't mention Black Hammer, though, which was a huge oversight because to me this is the best thing he's doing in comics on a monthly basis. Black Hammer number 9, after the shocking events of Black Hammer number 8.
Shocking.
Shocking.
I was shocked. Also, it should be worth mentioning, this has got David Rubin on guest art, which... He's good, but I really missed the regular artist, Dean.
Agreed. Like I was like, ooh, I like this. But then I'm like, oh, but I miss Dean Ormston.
Yeah. But in the last issue, we had the Black Hammer's daughter talking to, was it Talkie Walkie?
Yeah.
And the robot who was trying to get them out of this purgatory they're in. And she gave him an interesting idea and he was going to run with it. But then he was destroyed or shot and then destroyed by Colonel Weird. And here we get Colonel Weird's backstory. This has been the arc all about finding out the backstories of these characters, much like the Old Guard. And Colonel Weird's buddy was Talkie Walkie. They met each other in an adventure. Talkie Walkie saved him when he was on a robot planet, and he was being hunted because he was not a robot. And so it actually made the murder of Talkie Walkie, which actually is completed here, he destroys him here, much worse.
Yep.
This is terrific. This book is really terrific. If I had an Eisner nomination, I would give this one of them to this book.
This book is like, and it's funny because I get the sense that this is what Jeff Lemire would do if given carte blanche at DC. Right. And since that didn't work out, he's like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to do it myself. I'll do it myself. Fuck you, Joe Boo. I'll do it myself. and what's funny is that you see the little nods. Like, so here in the flashback, he even says it's a mystery in space.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, all right, cool. So this is the, you know, this is the Adam Strange character or whatever, but he's giving it its own life. And it's heartbreaking. This is the scene in the present day where the murder finishes and he's saying goodbye to his best friend. It's heartbreaking. It's like, you know, like it's that Lemire emotional component. And like that emotional dimension that we're getting in Black Hammer is something that regular superhero comics lack. And I wish DC had the guts to let Lemire do whatever he wants, because could you imagine this in the context of DC proper?
So I think this book is where the Venn diagram of his indie work and his superhero work meets in the middle, right? So it shows you what he's holding back when he has to work under the constraints of Marvel and DC. Because his work is fine at Marvel and DC. It's not bad in the least. It's just not this.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that extra passion to
it. Sparkle.
Yeah. And it's, you're right. If he could be let loose with DC characters, like, why wouldn't you let him do an Adam Strange book in any way he wanted to do it?
Yeah.
It's not like that's taking away from some other great Adam Strange book that's being done. You know, why not? Let him do it. Let him tell a story with a bunch of B or C list Silver Age characters that aren't being used. And just let, I mean, if this was, I mean, this is great. I don't need it to be a DC book, but if it was all those kind of guys and it's trapped in a dimension, not affecting the rest of the stories, it would be terrific.
Did he do that Adam Strange Animal Man thing? That was before his time, wasn't it? That was, because that was after forget it. It's not what I'm thinking of.
Are you talking about the 52 storyline with Adam Strange and Animal Man?
Yeah. That was before his time, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is great. If Dean Ormston,
I think. Yeah.
Dean Ormston.
No, it's Dean. It's Dean Commandy.
Dean Commandy?
Yeah.
If he had drawn this
isn't like Dean. What's the Dean in Animal House?
I was going to say in JFK.
Dean
Wormer?
Dean Wormer. That's what it is. Yeah.
That's what it sounds. Yeah. That's what I was hearing.
Yep. Yeah.
But that's also pronounced Commandy. So that's
weird. That's what people don't realize, is that they're saying it so quickly in the movie, but it is pronounced Commandy, not Wormer. So, yeah. It's pronounced Commandy. That got me good. Thank you, John.
It's a 45-year-old Monty Python joke.
Yeah. So, cool. Yeah, no, I love Black Hammer. It's just great. I miss Dean Ormsby or Dean Commandy. I miss Dean on art, but
that's going to be a tough one to keep bringing back.
But it's interesting because I would like to see Dave Rubin, like if they did some sort of thing where Dave Rubin did these flashbacks.
Yeah, no, Dave Rubin's fantastic. He's really great.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, nothing against Dave Rubin. No. He's really, really good. But I just, where this is going, I just have no idea, and I just love it. Like, it's just, like, getting lost with these characters and, like, this little pocket world that they're in, and you know that something's, like, things are falling into place, but we don't know what they are, so I can't wait for it to start kind of tying together.
Yep.
So, yeah, great stuff, great stuff. So I've said it a couple times on the show so far in the last couple of weeks. I'll say it again. I'm a little Guardians of the Galaxy'd out. I don't know about you guys. There's been a lot.
Yep.
I hear you.
There's been a lot. Like, and kudos to Marvel for like saying, okay, the movie's out, so let's have a bunch of stuff on the shelves, which is great because it feels like every week there's been multiple Guardians of the Galaxy related stuff. So given that I've got Guardians fatigue, when I saw I Am Groot number one on the shelves, I was like, here we go, you know. And
fine.
Right, fine, whatever. And I've got to say, story-wise, fairly kind of, you know, to be expected for this current incarnation of Guardians. But give it up for Flaviano on art. This was just, like, gorgeous. Like, from page to page to page, just, like, fantastic. And we saw Flaviano on Power Man and Iron Fist, right? Isn't that where we saw a lot of stuff? Right. So if you are looking for the artistic vibe of some of, you know, because he did fill-ins on it, right? But like the artwork in I Am Groot was just delightful. It was just like getting, you know, like the story is basically, you know, so I guess baby Groot is mischievous as young children kind of are. And he's tinkering with the spaceship and ends up getting himself ejected onto another planet, another dimension. And the Guardians, have to go save him, but they can't get back to him. And now he's trapped on this planet all by himself. And all he's saying is, I am Groot, I am Groot, I am Groot, as you expect, because that joke's not too tired. But this is, it's fantastic. And then in this weird dimension planet, he meets a pug that's got a body like Mojo with little legs on it. And it's just like artistically, it is so out there. And so, you know, just like almost in the way that Scotty Young stuff on I Hate Fairyland, like, you know, kind of gives a physical form to imagination. Flaviano is doing something very similar to this, you know, like where it's so, you know, dynamic and colorful and just like, and it's just really, really well done. Who did the colors on it? Marcio Menies. That's also pronounced Commandy. Am I the one who read it? Am I the one who's taking the Guardians bullet? Or
oh yeah,
yes.
Okay,
I looked at it and I went, I don't want that.
I saw the preview pages; they looked great.
Yeah, no, artistically wise, they look fantastic. I mean, the story, the story just feels like another like let's tell a fun Guardian story. You know, like, oh, baby Groot.
I'm reading all new Guardians. I'm enjoying that. I don't need any more Guardians. This is also my least favorite character in the Guardians. So I would...
really,
oh yeah, it's a one note joke.
Wow,
that's the point though.
I know.
Like Ron said, like, it's not getting old. Like, it's not going anywhere.
Right.
It's fine in a team setting.
Right.
I see what you're getting at. Well, it is an interesting challenge for creators to sort of get it and go, all right, what do I do with this that hasn't been done a million times? That's kind of fun to watch.
But. Yeah, doing a whole series around it is a bit of the challenge, you know. And so, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know if this is a mini or an ongoing or whatnot, what the plans are with it. I think it's probably a mini because the Rocket one is a mini too. Yeah.
It lets you actually focus on comic book storytelling rather than, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But if you're looking for great comic art, check out Flaviano and I Am Groot number one. That really, really stood out for me. And what can stand out for you on this upcoming Father's Day is a great present for your dad from our sponsor, Harry's. And listen, Father's Day is just around the corner. It's literally a few weeks away. And if your father is anything like mine, he's probably impossible to shop for. After all these years of Father's Day presents, finding something that he doesn't have, something he'll actually use, it's a nightmare. Luckily, our friends over at Harry's have a special offer that you're going to love, and I bet your dad's going to love it too. You can get $5 off one of their shave sets, including their limited edition Father's Day set. And that's all at harrys.com/ifanboy. And listen, you've heard us rave about Harry's. We were all customers before they came on as a sponsor. That's what's made this so much easier and so much fun. And Harry's is one of the things that I love to give as a present. And I got to tell you, my dad is getting this Father's Day set. I already ordered it. I already got it. And what's amazing about it is that it comes in this great kind of really special packaging, little silver highlights. It's got everything he needs. It's got the Harry's razor blade and holder. It's got the foaming shave gel. It's got the little cartridge to hold your spare razor blades. It's got the little travel cover, which keeps you from cutting up your hand when you're going on the road. And it's even got the little stand to put the razor blade in. It is just a beautiful set and will be a great present for Father's Day. And it's just fantastic, you know. And so I got, you know, it was so good. I ordered two of the safe sets, one for myself and one for my dad. In fact, I might order a third to give to my brother-in-law. So that's how great they are.
Wait, are you telling us something here with the fact that you ordered yourself a Father's Day present?
Well, no, I'm not. It's a great shave set.
Okay, all. Just making sure.
He's like, wait, I don't get a present? Oh, well, I already ordered it.
Well, it was my birthday a couple weeks ago. I indulged and got myself a new Harry's blade. There you go. And what's great
that
about Harry's
is one smooth Father's Day get together
with
the Richards men.
Listen. For those of you who have had the benefit of meeting my father, I've never seen my father's upper lip. He's had a mustache for as long as I've known him, and he keeps currently now he's got a beard as well too. But he's trimmed that mustache. It was a good Biggs mustache in the 80s. It was real. It was a Biggs Darklighter kind of mustache. And Harry's is exactly the kind of thing that he needs to maintain his beard, mustache, goatee, whatever he's got. And what's great about it is that now that I got him on the Harry's bandwagon, he can get a great shave at a fair price. And that's the thing that brought me to Harry's, is that I was tired of paying high prices for razor blades, and Harry's has got amazing quality at a low price. Their blades have got five German crafted blades all on the one razor. It's got the flex hinge. It's got a lubricating strip. That fifth trimmer blade I use on my sideburns all the time. And what's great is that they give you 100% quality guarantee. You get a full refund if you're not happy with it. And at $2 a blade or less, that's half the price of the leading razor blade brands out there. So listen, these shave sets start at just $15. Not to mention you can get $5 off when you go to harrys.com/ifanboy. So you can get for just starting at $10. And you can get a razor handle, the shave gel I mentioned, and three of the five-blade Precision Engineer razors from Harry. And listen, this Father's Day shave set is perfect for comic fans because guess what? It's limited edition, right? you can get the special.
Is it slab?
Harry's. It's not slabbed because you want to use it.
Oh, right,
but you
right.
can get the special.
Ah, that has nothing to do with it.
You can get the special Harry's variant, which is a storm gray razor handle, which just looks awesome. Storm gray. It sounds like a G.I. Joe character. You get the razor handle, the chrome razor stand, the shaving gel, the blades, the travel cover, and it comes in that great sleek box, which is also storm gray with silver highlights. And you can add custom engraving and a personal card for free. Harry's knows how to put together the perfect Father's Day present. So go to harrys.com/ifanboy right now and get the special offer for iFanboy listeners. They're going to give you $5 off the shave set. It's limited time only, so make sure you order immediately. Get it in time for Father's Day. That's harrys.com/ifanboy. Get $5 off, and of course, help support iFanboy in the process. And we thank everybody for your support. And we thank Harry's.
I believe that Storm Gray was an E5 chief warrant officer. Right?
Storm Gray is a great name, by the way. That's a great name.
It's a great name. Are you guys still reading XO Manowar?
So I read the second one, and I kept seeing this on the list, and I was like, I guess I should read that, and then I didn't, because I really kind of don't care.
Likewise.
I'm still reading it. I mean, back to the art discussion I mentioned before, Tomas Giorello is fantastic, and it's getting sad that it's getting fewer and far between in comics.
Yeah.
I really like looking at his pages. He's a really great artist, and this issue featured some David Mack work, in which they did a flashback to the civilization explaining how they came to be and all their indulgences and all their sexual peccadilloes.
Heyo.
The sex slaves and the organ slaves and all the things that they had, this society had. And so it was a really great sort of Roman style art that David Mack did for the flashbacks, which was great. And this issue, Exo Manowar, whatever the fuck his name is, Eric, leads the assault on this citadel, and actually they get in, and he gets promoted to captain from whatever slave group he was in before. So now he's a captain in the army. It's still basically just the story of people who have been trod upon, revolting against the people that had the boot on their necks, and it's been interesting so far. But I would say 60% of the reason why I'm reading it is the art.
The art. I mean, like, it kind of dropped off just because, you know, there's only so much time and that sort of thing. But do you think the art is I should go back and read it because the art's that good?
The art's really good. I don't know. I mean, if you didn't want to stay on it, then I wouldn't say to stay on it.
All right.
But it's the same. Right. It's the same. If you like the first issue, it's the same thing going forward.
That's how I found about the second issue. It was like, oh, it's the same. It's very like little sci-fi Conan. I mean,
yeah, that's basically
it. And I find that I like Conan in short doses, but I always get bored after a few issues.
Yeah, I might stick with it for the first arc, and then, you know.
So, if there was one thing that Secret Empire was missing from this event, what do you think it would be, guys?
I don't know where you're going with this.
I don't know. I'm not reading it. I don't know what it's missing.
I'm pretty sure it would be bringing back the reporter from Civil War Frontline who asked Captain America if he had a MySpace page.
Oh, my.
Oh, fuck.
Because guess what, folks? That's where we're at 10 years later.
Oh, fucking fuck.
So Captain America, Steve Rogers, number 17, continued to be written by Nick Spencer with art by Andres Guinaldo and Raymond Box. Also continuing Marvel's wonderful legacy of awful art in this book. I feel bad. I'm sorry, but Andres Guinaldo is not. Raymond Box is all right, but the Guinaldo pages are just not Marvel. Like, I cannot believe this is sliding and this is being, like, actually going through editorial. But the issue picks up where Sally Floyd, that's somebody completely different. Sally Floyd, the reporter from Frontline who asked Captain America if he had a MySpace page, is back to interview Hydra Cap on TV, and the whole issue is this interview. And in the first page, she reminds us who she was. We get a little panel going back to Civil War, and she recounts the interview with Captain America where she says she humiliated him. She suggested he was outdated, and then we get a retcon. She says, I humiliated him, suggested he was outdated, out of touch, asked him if he knew what Twitter was.
Oh.
It's the sliding scale of Marvel timeline where everything is always 15 years.
Exactly.
That's fair game.
All I'm just saying is that never forget it was MySpace. So, and now Captain America wears a green Hydra, very regal kind of costume now. So Secret Empire continues, and it's just ridiculous. And it also contains details in a flashback of how he handled the mutants, why the mutants are nowhere here, because he gave Magneto a country that they can all live in. And if they go there, then they will. Hydra won't bother the mutants. Captain America.
Like I missed anything. I made an executive decision. I'm not reading that. I said.
It's just really
Twitter, like
At this point, I just want to see what where else can we go from here, you know?
Yeah. No, that I can respect actually. Like I can't argue with that decision. Like,
right. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you did that. Infamous Iron Man number 8. And I'm getting them mixed up, starting to lose track of which one's which.
Yeah, you sent an Invincible Iron Man on the list, and I had a hard time figuring that out until I figured out what
you're talking. They both start with N, and I'm not smart anymore. Yeah, Infamous Iron Man number 8. Sorry about that. Okay. This is the Doctor Doom one, but they were both in it. And I thought, oh, of course they're both going to come together. That's really interesting. And I'm digging these two books still. And I was like, oh, this makes perfect sense as a thing to do. And also, what it's making me feel like is it's like, it's that good old Bendis.
Yep. Yes.
This issue was fantastic, by the way.
I only had one criticism of it, and that's my own fault, in that I didn't realize that was Reed talking. I thought it was Doom again.
I had the same problem.
And so I was like, that's a weird story for Doom to tell the thing.
I had the same thing.
So that's my only criticism, is that you have two very similar looking brunette dudes. I always liked Doom not being handsome. Anyway, that's a whole.
Which Reed? And the thing is also is that Reed, like when they said it was Reed, I went back to look to see if we had gray in the temples or whatever. But it's a younger Reed.
It's Ultimate Reed.
Yeah, exactly. And like the thing is that like
Reed go crazy and have like a thing stuck to his head.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, who knows
before that?
Yes.
No, because I don't know. But the point is, it didn't really take away from my enjoyment because the character work is so good and the art was really good. It's good Maliv.
Maliv. Yeah, no kidding. That was the other. I was like, this is Maliv. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
The tone of Victor Von Doom talking to Riri and just like the resolved, calm, not you know, like it was amazing. It was really really good.
Yeah, great stuff.
This is classic Bendis, and I've been hard on him recently, but I'll give him credit where credit's due. This has been fantastic. But.
Yeah, and sort of exploring new and different characters that he hasn't really done so much before, so that's good too, and not too much. That's the other there's not 150 characters trying to stand around and have a conversation, so it's just doing the work.
He also does pompous really well, which is all what Doom is.
It's true.
Yeah. Yep.
but he's like trying to be humble, which is probably. Very familiar for a comic book creator who's kind of popular.
Pompous humble.
Like I'm super popular in my little world, but outside of it, I'm not really like a big deal.
Right.
So in the category of really great, but also why are they publishing this? Is Rebels, yeah. These Free and Independence Days number 3, this is the second Rebels miniseries, a historical epic of America's founding by Brian Wood and Andrea Muti from Dark Horse. This is terrific. I don't know why this is... Is publishing a Revolutionary War epic in Dark Horse's sort of strategy? I don't know, but I'm enjoying it. It's really great.
Here's the question.
Yeah.
I've asked this a lot before. Who is this for?
You and me.
Because, and this is the key. I mean, almost literally, because here's the key. They don't explain shit. So if you don't understand the actual timeline of U.S. history, you are going to be completely lost.
Yep.
This is the post-Revolutionary War, pre-1812 war, you know, Barbary pirates phase.
Yeah.
Where they build the 6 frigates. Like, that's some deep history.
Yeah.
That most people don't know, and they go to no trouble to explain it.
No.
No. So, I mean, awesome. This is great for me. If you like this kind of thing, wow. It came back. They did it, and then they did more of it.
And they got more esoteric. I mean, at least the first one was about the revolution. People at least know that. This is, are we going to go to the Barbary Coast? Are we going to go to Libya? I don't know. I hope so. Probably not.
All right. Well, I checked out Secret Warriors number 2. I read the first issue, but I didn't bring it up on the podcast. But this is written by the new book by Matthew Rosenberg with art by Javier Garon. And this is picking up the Daisy Johnson Quake character and like kind of a new team. And I like Javier Garon's art, and I like Matt's tone with his writing. It's just all Inhumans, and I'm just like, I wish this was just any other characters but the ones in here.
Shield was this? Are these TV? Because I read the first one, and I was like, I don't know who any of these people are.
No, it's all Inhumans. It's all. Oh, okay. I mean, yes, it's like Inhumans dealing with Shield, and of course now it's dealing with like way to start a new series in the confines of an event. Because it's all about the Secret Empire or whatever it is. But basically it's so Quake, Daisy Johnson is a SHIELD agent, and they're on the run with other – she's also an Inhuman, and they're on the run with other Inhumans, including Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur and Ms. Marvel and Inferno and Karnak. They're on the run, and they're trying to get to the X-Men for some reason. And it's a fun kind of on the run, like – you know, on the road, kind of like trying to stay out of trouble and that sort of thing. They're all in a comically small car, and you know, you get a lot of jokes in that regard. And they run, and then they run into the Howling Commandos team, which is the SHIELD team of all monsters, of you know, the monkey with the guns and the Dum Dum Duggan LMD and that sort of thing. And I mean, it's fun, and it's like kind of madcap, but it's like it's just Inhuman laden and Secret Empire laden, and it just feels like the weight of it just makes me not want to read it anymore.
It is the best that could be done with a bunch of stuff that I don't care about.
Exactly. That's a really great description of it. Yeah.
So. Can I tell you, just as an aside, I've had the We Can Never Go Home Again issues on my iPad forever, and I just read them.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap, this is good.
Yeah, it was good.
So this is my plug to, well, that was a somewhat qualified recommendation. Get those, man.
Yeah, that was
go
good
get
stuff.
Those from Matt Rosenberg. I'll write this.
So, distressing news this week.
Yeah, very distressing.
We're on to the patrons pick. And so if you've been following along and you're not a patron, you don't know that there's been a concerted effort, a small band of radicals built around a power-hungry ex-staffer.
Would you call this an uprising, Connor?
I'd call it this extremist movement.
All right.
People outside the
uprising
mainstream.
Like when you've had a bad meal.
Is this the fringe?
It is the fringe element of the patrons. It's a small band of patrons.
Yeah, it's a very vocal minority.
Wrested control of the patron pick slowly but surely to get to the point where this week's pick is Strawberry Shortcake Funko Universe from IDW. And they've been really trying hard this week. They were able to consolidate enough votes to push this through, to ram it through. And so here we are.
They've been trying for the past couple of weeks. The IDW has been doing these Funko Universe comics, which are the various properties of licensed comics that IDW does, but drawn in the style of those Funko dolls, which apparently are like... There could be a Star Trek episode about Harry Mudd and the Funko dolls.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? These are expanding faster than Tribbles.
And they're creepy. With the,
they're creepy.
The baby black eyes. I prefer Mighty Mugs.
But the Funkos have really taken off, and that's great. So they're doing these comics, and so these characters are drawn in the style. I guess last week was X-Files. There was a Ghostbusters one.
Ninja Turtles, yeah.
Right, and these radical patrons who I thought liked us. But apparently now I need to second guess our entire relationship with this faction. This is not what we had intended when we rolled this out. So I hope they're happy.
So, Strawberry Shortcake, we read it. First of all, $5. Wow, that's audacious on IDW's part. But
it did feel long, didn't it?
It was long. It was almost 40 pages.
It did feel long.
So the story of Strawberry Shortcake Funko Universe is that Strawberry Shortcake has been asked to be the judge in the county fair baking competition, which she wins every single year. And her friends are all happy because now it means one of them has a chance to win the baking competition. And on her way to the fair, taking her trip through the woods, the evil dude, what's his name?
You just want to say Gargamel, didn't you?
Yes, I did want to say Gargamel. The peculiar purple pie man of Porcupine Peak. He changes the road signs. She ends up in the scary woods instead of the meadows. He tries to kidnap her, but then he learns a valuable lesson about friendship and baking, I guess. I don't know.
And so then he pulls out of the contest, but then all the other people say, no. You can be in the contest with your fucked up tart. And like, surely, like, so not only did you learn a lesson, but you have to lose now. Like, it's just like, it was really borderline mean.
Well, he won the honorable mention award.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, because he learned a lesson.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like terrible. The art was good.
It was. Fuck this book.
No, it wasn't terrible. It's a kid's book.
No, you know what? It was. Because I read kids' books all the time. There was nothing interesting about this. Who was this for? Kids don't know what Strawberry Shortcake is. This is just to sell people to 40-year-olds who want to buy toys, and they think, well, we can make a little bit of extra money on there. There was nothing here. It was like, just write the thing. Fine, I'll write it. There was no point to it. I wouldn't read this to my kids.
I enjoyed it.
I read kid shit all the time. There's good kid stuff and bad kid stuff. Like, if you're going to do a good job. We live in a world where Mark Russell did the Flintstones. You're not making this for kids, so make it interesting or try.
Maybe wow.
That's what I think.
Wow. I do agree with you in terms of the who is this for, because the question being, like, I was going to ask if you guys have any, do you have any history with Strawberry Shortcake in any regard?
No.
Okay. My sister collected Strawberry Shortcake dolls, and I watched a lot of the cartoons. That was in 1983.
Right.
So to Josh's point, like, I don't know if there's a Strawberry Shortcake upsurgence of kids that are into it. I know it's always been around in some way, shape, or form, and each character is after a different fruit and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, but I was trying to read this from a, like, would I give this, like, my nieces are now getting older, right. So, but would I give this to a younger child? And I don't know if I would.
Well, there was jokes about environmentalism and stuff, and they weren't particularly clever, so it wasn't like a Pixar movie, which sort of straddles the line to do both things.
Yeah.
It just didn't, like, there's just better stuff than this.
Right.
For kids. And so it's getting by solely on the strength of the license, which I don't think is that strong. So it's like people are going to go, oh, I remember this from when I was a kid. And you're going to give it to your kid. And your kid's going to go, I don't care. This is from 35 years ago. Right. So, you know, it was what it was. It wasn't bad, but it offered nothing.
I mean, the challenge with it is that it's a license with a gimmick. And, like, so to who is this for? Is this for fans of Strawberry Shortcake, or is this fans of Funko dolls?
In either case, what are those people actually getting out of it, though? Like, nothing.
Right, yeah, right.
Well, you got a story. I read it, enjoyed it.
Did you?
So, yeah, I did. I got a story.
You really enjoyed it?
Yeah, I did. I got a one-shot story. It was, it's a different kind of story than normal, but you got a complete short story that made sense. It tracked. It had an arc. The characters learned something. You had a competently told story. That's what they get out of it. Maybe not $5 worth.
$5 is a lot. All right, so ratings. Connor, why don't you lead us off, Mr. Shortcake?
I give it a 3.
Josh?
1 star. Will not read again. Blow me.
2.5. Sticking with it.
I believe this is the last of the Funko books.
Oh, the sons of bitches.
I will take it all back if someone's like, I get my kids love this.
Yeah, okay. So if your kids love this book, please tweet us with hashtag I don't even know. Hashtag
my kids love strawberry shortcake.
Yeah, hashtag strawberry shortcake, yes. There we go.
There you go.
All right. Well, those are that was the patron's pick, you sons of bitches. We'll see what you do next week. I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
Not what we're here for.
Yeah.
But somebody's going to be like, I really like when he got mad at that strawberry shortcake book. Let's do that.
That's really all they want. That's all they want.
I know. And I'm playing right the fuck into it.
Oh, no, I was wrong. There's another one next week. Judge Dredd Funko.
I would read that in a second.
Okay.
John Layman's writing it.
Might read that now.
Vote for that.
So they were 1 week early is what you said. Their success was 1 week early.
Yeah.
In addition to the patron pick, if you go to patreon.com/ifanboy, you can get your own dumb superpower if you give it the proper level. We do 4 an episode, so if you're new, do the math. It's going to take a while. Let's kick it off with the first patron power, Ron.
Yeah, so we want to thank Jamie Carter for supporting iFanboy. I really appreciate it. Jamie has the ability to shapeshift his or her body into a perfect sphere or a perfect rectangle, like very solid, basic shapes.
Like flat or the cubes?
Like three-dimensional, not flat, but like almost like blocks, you know, or it could go into a perfect ball and roll away, or it could go into like a rectangle, you know, cube rectangle and be like a solid block, and then that's it.
All right. Okay. All right,
cool.
Jeffrey Figley records all conversations he's a part of and can play them back.
Interesting. Nice. What does he record them with?
It just records in his brain hard drive, and he opens his mouth and can play them back. And he can access all the files.
Mother had a maiden name of Nixon.
If the next patron is the one who I think it is, I'm glad I didn't draw this one.
You're glad.
Oh. Megan has the power of variable friction. She can have she can churn her friction all the way down so that nothing sticks to her in any way. Or turn it all the way up.
There you go. Okay. That's interesting.
So you could like climb up walls or have all your stuff stick to you or be completely frictionless, which would be somewhat problematic. But it's universal. You can't make the rest of you frictionless and your feet high friction.
Right.
So that you would say walk up a building but be impervious to impact.
This is the closest to an actual useful superhero power maybe.
I realized that as I was saying it out loud. And I will say I did plan that before I realized who I was talking about. So I'm pretty clear here.
Okay. All right. And our last patron we want to thank is John Fox, who can read the infrared spectrum. Can see the infrared spectrum, get data out of it, and understand what's going on in infrared. So every time you use a remote control, he sees the beam and all the information going between the remote control and the TV.
Oh, wow. Can he turn it off, or does he always see it?
He just always sees it.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, and he's also the Flash from the future.
That's what I was going to say. He also runs really fast.
I thought about it. I thought about doing it, but then I decided not to.
Those are the dumb superpowers of the week. Go to patreon.com/ifanboy, and that's where you can get your dumb superpower, courtesy of being a patron. Also, big news this week, the T-shirt store finally launched. That was a patron goal we hit. It's taken us a little while to get it going, but it's launched. It's live. ifanboy.threadless.com is where you can find it. We've got 4 designs, 2 classic designs, the ifanboy logo, the Herm shirt. And we have got 2 new designs, the Pick of the Week podcast art shirt and the new ratings shirt, my new personal favorite.
Ratings.
And we've got more designs coming soon. We're going to release them somewhat regularly, but we're already planning out the next one. It's in the sketch phase right now. Good news, we've partnered with Threadless to offer free shipping on new orders. Anything over $45 U.S. domestic, it's free shipping. Anything over $80 internationally, and that lasts until June 9th. They're very excited about our store. They are excited about the reception. A lot of you ordered shirts right off the bat, so they decided to offer us free shipping. So thanks, Threadless, for that. Go to fanboy.threadless.com for t-shirts.
And the free shipping is very, very cool of them. And We just want to thank everybody who has ordered a shirt up to this point. I mean, I know it was a long wait. We're going to make it worth your while. We got new, as Connor mentioned, we got new designs coming. I'm very excited for all this to come together. So we hope you guys like it. And if you can't remember that URL, ifanboy.threadless.com, you can just go to ifanboy.com and in the link in the top nav, there's a link to t-shirts and just that'll take you right to it.
Yes.
Also, the shirts are completely frictionless. That's not true. There was a bit when I had the power and I wrote it and I said, is this going to be sexist if I say it about a girl? No, it checks out. Okay, let's move forward.
And also you can help the show by, as we said, joining our patrons. Go to patreon.com/ifanboy, where we are less than $600 away from our next goal, our next stretch goal, which is a non-comics media podcast every month. But also you should join up and fight back the extremists and vote for the patron pick book every week, or get your dumb superpower, or just enjoy the banter that happens in the comments section of the patrons. So go to patreon.com/ifanboy and help the show out directly. Also, ifanboy.com/support, that's where you'll find an Amazon link, unless you've got an ad block up, in which case you won't see it. If you don't see it, that's probably why you don't. Also, you can find a direct donation button for PayPal. If you're an eccentric billionaire, you want to unload some cash, go to ifanboy.com/support.
It's just weird that nobody's taken us up on that yet at this point. Like, that's unusual, right?
We know they're out there. We know they're out there.
They have to be.
There are nerds who are eccentric billionaires, obviously.
Yes, I know one.
Well, yeah, but this one, favorite book? Strawberry Shortcake.
Yeah. He was going to. He had his finger on the send button, and you started ranting about Strawberry Shortcake, and he was like, fuck these guys.
He had his giant gold leaf checkbook out, and his incredible Mont Blanc pen, and he was like, perfect. And he was like, 000, 000.
Never
Would
mind.
You please play that back?
And then he had his podcast guy rewound it for him. And then
poppycock. Oh, gosh. All right. Well, we're sorry, eccentric billionaire, for pissing you off with our distaste of Funko and or strawberry shortcake. Tragic. All right. Time for your questions. Our first email comes in from Ryan from Madrid, who says, hey, if the Flash is so fast, how is he able to stop so quickly? Just seems tough to generate the friction needed to stop. I just figure he'd slide more like Tom Cruise in Risky Business. Well, Josh, since you're the friction expert.
I'm going to give you one word here. It's not based on fact, and I'm not going to explain it. Vibration. That sounds like a Flash thing, right?
I think it'd be great if every time the Flash slid to a stop, he had no pants.
Isn't Flash's suit frictionless?
It is.
Yes.
And so therefore, the soles of the shoes would be not that.
Yeah.
That's how.
It's comics.
Yeah.
Robert Kanigher's dead. I don't know what to tell you.
If you thought too much about the Flash, he would not make any sense whatsoever.
Right.
I'm going with variable friction.
Variable friction. Variable friction suit. Friction bubbles.
I just tried looking up how does the Flash stop, and I got how to stop Flash crashing in Chrome. So I don't think
that's not going to help.
Oh, and then Google's replacing Flash and Chrome once and for all. Whew, okay, good. All right, next question.
Andrew from Santa Cruz, California. This is mostly directed to Josh, but I'm interested in everyone's answer. This is interesting. A lot of these themes are coming up again. I love the Image comic Lazarus and read it by trade, but I cannot for the life of me ever remember the story when I get a new trade. I've even convinced myself that if I read the comic by the issue that it's so dense, I will still forget much from issue to issue. What should I do, and have I failed Josh? To be honest, I've only thought about this for 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, I mean, you've all failed me. That's not in contention. You bought them, which is important. Well, I mean, like, how do you remember when Game of Thrones comes back?
They do what previously happened? On Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
right, you look at your old book. This isn't...
Ron, you used to work at Image. You used to run the shop.
Yeah.
Why don't the trades include previous pages on them?
I don't know. I honestly have no idea because I mean mainly I think
brought
because,
up.
Because yeah because nobody ever brought it up and that's kind of a decision on each creative team. There's no listen, it's kind of the creative teams are running the show on their own books, you know. So if they decide they want to do that, then they, I mean, when I was there, I did make many suggestions to add a previously in recap on the issues, and that's why you see that in Black Science, you see that in other, you know, in other spots where it's, you know, like people buying the issue, let them know what happened previously. But why in the trades, I can't tell you that. Not that I can't tell you it, I just don't know. So
that was like a scoop.
You'd think that since a trade is, you know, 6 months in between, that would be more useful than an issue.
Yeah, exactly, where we last left off or whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah, I usually spend the first quarter of a Walking Dead trade remembering where we were previously.
That's just the name of the game, though. Yeah. I do find, though, that if you read it, because I read it in issues, I find that if you read in the issues, that is mitigated somewhat. Not when the issues are 4 months out, then you're just kind of hosed. But, yeah, you kind of just have the old one there and sort of look through, read the end of it, and sort of, all right, here's where we were, then start the new one. That's what you should do.
But Lazarus is super dense. So
yes,
we had that four-month break between issues. We talked about it in the show. We were kind of lost. So
sure.
I totally understand his problem.
I feel like that's just part of the experience at this point. With like all of the content that's coming out, it's like, it's all right, I'm going to feel like this for a little bit, and then I'm either going to get back on board or I'm not. And if you don't get back on board, then maybe you don't need to read it. Although with this, take your chances on that. So
All right. Our last question comes from Steven from New Hampshire, Josh's neighbor, and says, I'm an off and on comic reader. I still listen to the show to fill in the gaps, but after reading The Button, I started to hunt the books down in my local shop in New Hampshire, right by Josh's house. I walked and was greeted and asked if there was something I was looking for. I told him the issues for The Button. He said they were sold out. I asked if they had it at their other location, which is about a 20-minute drive from where Josh lives, and was willing to drive up and get them. He said no. He also said that DC was not going to reprint them, and I'd have to wait for the trade. Here's the thing I'm not sure on current etiquette, so I turned to you. I asked if he knew if they were available on digital, which is my last choice. His demeanor changed and became standoffish. He said probably not and just walked away. Well, I was going to buy a pop figure, but I just left, and it left a really bad taste in my mouth. Was it not okay to ask that? I would have probably tried to subscribe to the miniseries from DC and a few others if he had handled it better, but I was turned off. I know where he's coming from, and because I'm a general manager at a local movie theater and understand the issues of a dying industry.
Ooh.
So here's the thing. I'm not surprised to hear this at all. After talking to a lot of retailers, a lot of retailers feel threatened by digital. I know that there's a small number of retailers who would have been like, yeah, it's totally available on digital, and you can get it from our Comixology store. Like, they've right. teamed up with, you know. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, this store doesn't sound like they've done that. Or even if they don't have the affiliate kind of program with Comixology, they would say, yeah, it's totally available on digital, but when you read it, come back and read the next one, the Doomsday. You know, like, someone running a good store knows how to handle that question and keep you as a customer. And so that's really sad to hear that you got a standoffish kind of response.
So that's true. That's totally the case. I actually talked to the guy who owns my shop about this. I was curious. And one of the things is DC is specifically not reprinting The Button. So they're making it a limited item on purpose. And they haven't done this forever. That's a Marvel movie. It's not a DC movie. Yeah. So the retailers were actually put in a weird position by that right away, because there's always a thing where they don't want the publishers to give digital an advantage that they don't have. And what DC has done here is done that. Because they said, we're not reprinting it. You can only get this much. And then it sold out and they couldn't get any more of it.
And digital never sells out.
Yep.
Yeah, no, and that's true. So that's sort of tilting an advantage that way, which is something I didn't know. Like this is the first time DC's done anything like that in forever. Usually, like this is a Marvel kind of thing. This is not a DC thing. But, you know, they're trying to do that collectability thing, I guess, with these and try to make them feel special. So I think a lot of the stores were having a hard time with that fact, and so they'd have people coming in for this event, and they should have been turned into sales, and they didn't because they didn't have it. The response to digital, that's unacceptable. Shouldn't act like that. Who knows who was in there at the time, you know?
Yeah, who knows if it was an employee, like a lower employee or whatnot. I would say give the store a break. I would buy them on digital, read them still if you want to help a local store, frequent them, but that is it sucks to have a bad experience like that, and I don't think he should have been that standoffish to you.
Nope. So. Yeah, again, guy who ran my shop was just like, I wouldn't let my employees do that. It's not a thing. You know, that would really be a problem.
Otherwise, he's going to wait till October for the collection to come out.
Oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked it up. That's when that's coming out. They're collecting as one book with all the issues together, but that's still a long time to wait, especially for a book that they didn't overprint or do reprints on. Do you think they would have that out quick then?
Yeah.
Because DC doesn't benefit from back issue sales, or they got their money when they... Creating an artificial secondary market for a book doesn't help them at all, so I don't know why they...
That feels like that's that old DiDio thing where he was about the issue and the sort of excitement that goes around a thing and like thinking that would convert to buzz that would help people buy whatever the next thing is.
Right.
And make people order bigger because they didn't get what they wanted on this one. That's what it feels like.
DC's always been weird about their trade program and all this sort of stuff. Yeah, it's like...
It's robust now.
Yeah, it seems like they're turning it around.
They have stepped into overdrive. Everything is being collected. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I'm buying so many trades now. It's for everything from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s that I read is being collected, except for apparently Justice Society 1992. Fuck you.
All right, well, good question.
It's not like we're talking about Strawberry Shortcake here. Calm it down.
Good question. All right. If you want to get on the show, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. Be sure to include your name, where you're from, how long you've been thinking about your question, and try to keep it brief. And if you want to send in an audio question in MP3 format or whatnot, keep that to about 30 seconds or so. Keep them coming.
And let's talk about our other shows and things that we have coming up, because there's a lot going on and you need to keep track of it. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is out. You guys saw it. I still haven't seen it. And if you want to know what Ron and Connor thought about it, you should download that show. And then next week, Iron Fist is a real thing.
We recorded it. It's done.
It's been recorded, yes.
It was recorded. It will come out. And then also there is a major superhero movie coming out.
Major.
Called Wonder Woman. Is it called Wonder Woman, or is it called like Dark Excess of Wonder Woman's?
Something? It is Warner Brothers DC Entertainment Wonder Woman, brought to you by Linda Carter. No, I don't know what it's called. It's just called Wonder Woman. In Google, I typed Wonder Woman and it says Showtimes for Wonder Woman. So I guess it's just called Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Not Dawn of Eternal
Wonder Woman.
Pain.
Dawn Wonder of Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman.
Look for Iron Fist and Wonder Woman coming next week.
That's Wonder Woman.
So many things.
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
In addition, we released our Booksplode, which you mentioned earlier, on Roughneck, the Jeff Lemire OGN. And we also, this past week, released the Animated Brain Trust's take on Teen Titans, the Judas Contract animated movie that came out. So that show is right behind this one on the feed. You can find all kinds of special edition podcasts this month, this summer, in fact.
It's funny because Wonder Woman is actually pronounced Commandy.
Yeah.
Which people are going to find out in the movie. So
they're going to be very confused.
Yeah. And then finally, if you're looking for more podcasts to listen to, one of our sister shows, Damn Fine Podcast, is done by me along with our good friend Tom Merritt, and Connor Kilpatrick is on quite a bit. We're talking about Twin Peaks, which, if you are not aware, is back on TV. Twin Peaks The Return aired on Showtime last Sunday, and we're right there podcasting about each episode. So you go to damnfinepodcast.com. You can subscribe to that feed. Check it out. Get on board the Twin Peaks Nation. We've been having a lot of fun, right, Connor? It's been crazy.
I'm on this week's episode talking about 3 and 4.
Yeah. Yes, you are. So that should be out the same time. It should be out very shortly after this show on Sunday. So
that's
yeah.
Right. Whew. Emotionally distressing.
You guys okay?
It's a hanging lot. In.
We're hanging in there.
Okay. In the meantime, while these guys recover, you can go over to ifanboy.com. You can find out about all of our other podcasts. You can go to facebook.com/ifanboy. And, of course, @ifanboy on Twitter. And you will find out what the pick of the week is there before the show comes out and other stuff that we put up on there. And, of course, you can follow us individually on both Twitter and Instagram at JAFlanagan, @RonXone, @CSKelpatrick.
And if you like the show, write a review on iTunes. That's for any show you listen to, including this one, Damn Fine Podcast, maybe a show that invented podcasting like Serial or S-Town. Give them a review. Give them a written review. Even a star rating helps. Just it takes a second to give a star rating. You don't have to write anything down. And it helps people find podcasts. It helps bubble the shows up. And it helps spread the word. And that's the easiest thing you can do to help your favorite podcast find a bigger audience. And that is it for this week's show. Thank you for listening. I'm Connor.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Josh. Goodbye.
That's pronounced Commandy.
Finally, Ron.
Always you know, sometimes think it's me, but you know I know when it's a dream. It's a dream. I think I know, I mean I guess, but it's all wrong. That is, I think I disagree. Let me take you.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in.
You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.